Our proverb for today is Proverbs 12:25. So if you turn there, we'll read it. Proverbs 12:25. This proverb reads this way: heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad. Now, the Proverbs speak of the heart often. The heart, subject of the heart, is a very prominent subject in the book of Proverbs. And when it speaks of the heart, it describes it as diligent, as subtle, as wise, as froward, as perverse, wicked, pure, proud, and merry. And God, in our proverb for today, adds to that description by introducing us to a stooping heart. We don't use that word much anymore, but a stooping heart is what the Bible describes today in our proverb. And we know what it means when the body stoops. And therefore, we are able to understand what a stooping heart is. Now, to stoop, of course, is to bend the body downward and forward, almost a bowing of the body. It is not a position of the body which indicates success, but it is a position which indicates defeat. When you stoop down, you walk with your head down, and people see you, they see someone that is defeated. And that's what is indicated here by a stooping heart. Now, children use this position often. Children are so descriptive of their feelings with their bodies. And they use this position often when their requests are denied. Children do not like their requests to be denied. I mean, that's just the way it is. So they put their heads down and they stoop. They bend their heads down and they walk away discouraged and cast down. And sometimes, for one reason or another, that lower lip comes out. I don't know what, I wonder what that, where that comes. I don't think you teach the child to do that. It's just kind of natural in the child to put the old lower lip down and stoop, and my requests were denied. And they go through that day with that kind of a spirit and attitude. But stooping is also the position of the body when it carries an actual burden, such as a heavy load on the back. Now, it's natural to stoop when you're carrying a heavy load on the back. So it indicates a burden. It indicates a heavy load. But the stooping heart that is described in this proverb does not require an actual burden. For a person, when in a stooping position, indicates a burden of the mind and of the heart. That's what we're talking about here. A stooping heart, then, is a burdened heart, and therefore our Proverbs writer talks about heaviness in the heart. My, how that can come about, can it not? To have a heavy heart. And the heaviness of this proverb is a continuing heaviness. It's a heaviness of burdens that do not get lighter. It implies a sense of depression. It implies a sense of discouragement, sorrow, or grief. It could be brought on by worry. How many of you never worry? No hands raised. But it could be brought on by a sense of worry. Could be brought on by a sense of fear or anxiety. And this in time becomes an overpowering burden or weight, which leads to discouragement and heaviness of heart. Now, if you leave this kind of thing untended, it takes over your thinking, it takes over your emotions, and it will take control of your daily life. Now, instead then of being filled with the Spirit of God, we are filled with anxiety and worry, and all these cares will choke out the working of God's Spirit. You know, the Bible says, quench not the Spirit. You know, you've got to keep the Spirit working in your life. Don't quench it. Don't throw water on it. Don't cool it. Keep it warm by getting in His Word and letting Him teach you from His Word. But the cumulative effect of dwelling on worry, fear, and anxiety about our children, our home, our job, our finances, our health, or even the state of the nation. Sometimes we fret about the state of the nation. It's so easy to fret about the state of the nation today, is it not? I mean, all the bad news that we hear. It's so easy to say, oh, we're going down, down, down. But even that is a burden and a heaviness of heart. And it'll weigh us down with things that are heavier than our hearts can bear. Be careful of that. Be careful of letting things weigh you down with things that are heavier than our hearts can bear. But you know, God provides this man of burdens with an elixir. You've heard of elixirs. Have you ever seen a sale on television in the Old West? You'd have a man come in with a wagon and he would have the latest elixir. Oh, it was marvelous. It would cure all things. It would cure all aches and pains and all diseases of the mind. It would cure your bunions and corns if used for 30 days. Got it? Now, the 30 days would give him time to get out of town. You know, you'd have to have 30 days. But God provides this man of burdens with an elixir, a medicine, a solution that will change a stooping heart to a glad heart. And that solution we're presented in this proverb is a good word. Isn't that marvelous? God says a good word will change a heavy heart to a glad heart. So heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad. Now a good word of God's word is in 1 Peter 5:7, where we are told to cast all your care upon Him. Now that Him is the Lord Jesus Christ, for He careth for you. Now from this we know that it is our responsibility to lay our cares at Jesus' feet. And we do this because we know He cares for us. Now, don't you go to those who care for you for help. I mean, you don't go to the stranger down the block. You go to those who care for you for help. And that's what Peter is saying here. Cast your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Now, this is the ultimate solution for our cares. But God knows that we are not always willing to do this. And many times we have heaviness of heart that is difficult to let go. That's just the nature that we have. It's hard to let go sometimes of this heaviness of heart. And even when we know that a brother or a sister ought to let go by casting all their care upon Him, that does not give us permission to do nothing for our brother or sister. You know, it's so easy. A lot of times we say this. Well, that person ought to go to the Lord and cast all their care upon Him. He has Jesus. I have Jesus. Let him go to Jesus. But you see, this proverb says, that's not right. That's not right. We shouldn't say that. Galatians 6 has interesting instructions for us in this regard. Now, in verse 5, the Apostle Paul tells the Galatians that every man shall bear his own burden. That's what he says. Bear your own burden. Don't come to me with your burdens. Bear your own burden. So based on this, shouldn't we just let our sister and brother take their burden to the Lord? Well, don't forget what Paul said previously to this. He gave instruction this way. In Galatians 6, 1 and 2, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, Ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself. Be careful, lest thou also be tempted. Then he says, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. So yes, we're to bear our own burdens, but also we're to bear one another's burdens. He's telling us that the primary bearer of our burdens is ourselves. We're not to unload all the time on others. I mean, we're given strength to bear burdens, to take care of our own problems. But sometimes the burdens get so great and we need a brother or a sister to help. Now, both we and others are to cast all our care upon Jesus Christ. We know that. But we also have responsibility to help others lighten their burdens. Now, we're all being conformed to the image of Christ. And if He is the recipient of our burdens, then we too, in the image of Christ, are to engage in helping our brother and sister when they have heaviness of heart. And we're told that this is the law of Christ. You know, we're not supposed to be so cold to say, well, just go to the Bible and do what the Bible says and goodbye. We have responsibilities as vicars of Christ on this earth. I'm not sure if I use that word correctly, but I'm saying we have a ministry of Christ. God gives us a ministry of Christ, and He expects us to help our brother and sister when they have heaviness of heart. Now, being in Christ means we are given relief by Christ from our burdens, but it also means actively seeking out those who need help in lightening their load. You know, you know, if you're alert, you can tell when someone has burdens. I mean, if you have any sense of being outside yourself, if you can take your mind off yourself and look at others, you can kind of get a feel for their burdens, can you not? So our responsibility is to engage in that and offer help. We are to be there as Christ would be there, for we are kept here in His stead. What do you think body of Christ means? What does a body do? Body does work for the head. That's why we're here. So we have a job to do for Him, and part of that job is to bring a good word in order to turn a heavy heart into a glad heart. Be alert of the things around you. What's taking place in people's lives? You know, a pastor's responsibility is to know what's going on in your life, that he may bring a good word. He brings a good word from the pulpit. He may bring a good word personally to your face. But we have a job to do. Now, we're told in Scripture that by Him, Jesus Christ, all things consist. We are told in Scripture that Jesus Christ is the Word. By this, we ought to learn how powerful Word is. Word is powerful. We are given the ability to speak Word, are we not? All of us can speak Word. And we are also told by our Lord that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. See how important word is? And how loosely we use word, do we not? How loosely word comes off our lips. We see then that words are powerful, and we shall be held accountable for our words. Now, you withhold words, God will hold you accountable for that. Someone has heaviness of heart, you have the opportunity to help. You say nothing, you give no good word, God will hold you accountable for that. Why didn't you give a good word? Is it too hard to give a good word? Are you trying to save your good words? You know, do you have a bank account of good words that you're looking at? The deposit book? So then our job as Christians is to give out good words. Now, absorb Proverbs 16:24. Pleasant words are as an honeycomb. You know, honey is such a wonderful thing, isn't it? But pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. Now, in other words, you can be a doctor when you give out good words. You're giving out health to the bones. Now, soak in Proverbs 15:24, which says, a man hath joy by the answer of his mouth. And a word spoken in due season, how good is it? You see, the word recipient is happy, and you're happy because you gave out the good word. So it's a wonderful transaction that takes place. And in Proverbs 25:11 says, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. And then our Lord Jesus Christ instructs us in Matthew 12:35, a good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. See, there's a treasure in your heart. Well, I want to keep my treasure. No, it's there so you can bring it forth. You know, what's the money in the bank for? It's there so you can bring it forth. So he is saying that before treasure is withdrawn from the heart, it must be deposited in the heart. You know, you can't go down to the bank and say, I'd like to withdraw $1,000. Well, where's your bank book? We used to have bank books. I don't know. I don't think they have bank books anymore. You just throw them your card. They'd say, well, where's that? Well, I don't have any. I just want to withdraw $1,000. Well, you can't do that. You have to deposit it. You have to make a deposit. See? So if there's a withdrawal of good treasure, what does that indicate? There had to be a deposit in the heart. Now, good treasure in the heart is God's word planted by his Spirit that when brought forth from the heart becomes good word fitly spoken and word spoken in due season. And that word fitly spoken, that word at the proper time will bring gladness that will replace heaviness and anxiety and the stooping of the heart. See how powerful word is. How powerful word is. Now, the word glad means to make merry. Were you merry this Christmas season? Or were you burdened down with Christmas? Did you make it a merry Christmas? So the word glad means to make merry. It means to rejoice. It means to brighten up. It is a gladness that brings joy. The kind of joy that releases the control of worry and anxiety from the heart and mind. It is a freeing kind of thing. You know, we can be so burdened down. We need freedom. And a glad word may bring that. So it lightens the load of heaviness and it takes the sting out of worry. So what is the lesson here? God's children can have a real ministry in the speaking of a good word. You're looking for a ministry? Here's a ministry. The speaking of a good word. You know, God has given each of us a purpose to carry out during our sojourn. We have a sojourn. We're on a sojourn. We're passing through. But while we're passing through, God has given us a purpose with our mouth. And that mouth is to be dedicated to the Lord. And if it's dedicated to the Lord, we can bring gladness to a heart that is stooped with heaviness. Now, each day, what a good resolution. Each day, we can purpose to lift up another by the words we speak, or we can speak words that add to the heaviness of another. You know, I think sometimes that's preponderant in lives, isn't it? Adding to the heaviness of others. God doesn't want us to add to the heaviness of the others, but he wants us to lighten the load. Now, each of us have the Word of God as the greatest treasure of the heart and when withdrawn, can make a sad heart glad. And you know, many times, few words are required when simply a listening ear will bring gladness. You know, people are also looking for a listening ear. Maybe an agreement, yes, a nod of the head, a pat on the back, something that will bring heaviness lighter. Now, God's word is so pure as a balm. It's pure as an ointment for the heart. And you read the Psalms, you read about David, and you read about the troubles and the difficulties and the heaviness that David had, but he knew the fact that God's word was a balm, and he knew it so intensely, and David would have perished had not the word of God been his joy and delight. You know, if you read the Psalms, you'll find that David was full of afflictions and griefs, but in those times, God's word brought gladness to the heart. So the lesson to us in this day for comforting souls who are cast down is to study and to show yourself approved of God that you may bring this word to others. What a comforting, talk about good words, good word of God. So we are to make it a matter of prayer that words from our mouth are healing words, words that will lift the burden of others so that joy comes in their mourning. We are given God's word for our own lives. We are to study God's word, put it in our heart. But why do we put it there? To withdraw it as a treasure of our hearts to share with those of a heavy heart. We're to tell them of God's promise, to direct the paths of those who trust in Him. We're to tell them of the words of Philippians 4, 6, and 7, which tells that there is no reason to be anxious, for by prayer, with thanksgiving, you can tell your concerns to God, who promises to bring a peace which passes all understanding. You can tell your concerns to God, who promises to heal your heart and mind through His Son, Jesus Christ. You know, God gives us healing words, for Jesus Christ, the Word of God, invites all those that are heavy laden to come unto Him, and He will give them rest. What good words those words are for a heavy heart. They're words that urge the brokenhearted by the Lord Jesus Christ, who said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." What an instruction, what an invitation. Learn of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll have a heart that's lifted. For He's meek and lowly in heart, and they shall find rest unto their souls. Words like letting Him take care of their cares. Let Him take care of your anxiety and worry and trade it in for His yoke. You know, that's a wonderful trade, is it not? Take all those burdens and take His yoke upon you, for it only comes with a light burden. Now, we are to use words to point the troubled ones to Christ, and to give them words that sustain them as they at times may walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Words like Psalm 55:22, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved." And Psalm 42:10, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him who is the health of my countenance and my God." And Psalm 62:8, "Trust in Him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us." You know, there is an inexhaustible supply of good word to be given to the heartbroken. You know, Jesus was that kind of Savior, and He comforted His disciples, and He told His disciples these important words. He said, take no thought for your life. Take no thought for what you eat. And take no thought for your body, what ye shall put on. And then he asked them, he asked them about adding to their stature. Can you add to your stature? No, nobody can add to their stature. I mean, I can stretch and stretch, and it just seems futile. But he said, God's the one that adds to your stature, and if God is responsible for doing that, don't you think that he can provide the things that are least? I mean, that's a big thing that someone could add to your stature. And if he has that kind of capability, don't you think he can provide for those things that are least? You know, it's so true that we worry and fret and are anxious because we simply do not know our Father. We don't know him. We don't have that knowledge of him. If we fret and worry, we don't know him to the fullest, and we don't know Christ to the fullest. Because if we knew them to the fullest, we would know that they will take care of us. You know, I ask this question, does a child fret and worry about his next meal, or what he shall wear, or whether there is a roof over his head? No, a little child doesn't worry about that. A little child expects something on the table when the time comes. A little child expects a snack. A little child never looks up in the roof and says, oh, are you going to disappear today? No, a little child simply trusts that his Father will provide. You know, Jesus said, except ye be as children. He's talking about your faith, the faith of children in their parents. And he expects us to have that kind. Now, God gives us the example of Martha to show us the better way. And the better way was to sit at Jesus' feet and learn of him. In Luke 10, 40 through 42, but Martha was cumbered. Cumbered. You think you'll be cumbered this year? Oh yeah, you'll be cumbered this year. But she was cumbered about much serving. You know, we can get so busy in serving, we forget about our Lord. We forget about sitting at his feet and learning of him. And she came to him. Now, I'm sure she had her eye on Mary. I've been around a long time to know how people look at other people and what they're doing. You know, why is she doing that? Why is she helping me? But she said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? I'm here in the kitchen slaving away. Notice the flour on my face. Notice my apron is all full of food and the makings of what's going on in the kitchen. And Mary's not even in there to help me. Bitter, therefore, that she helped me. Oh, you know, you would think, well, Jesus would say, Mary, get in there and help your sister. She's slaving away trying to prepare a meal, and I'm hungry. No, Jesus didn't say that. He said unto her, Martha, Martha. You know, when you use someone's name twice, you better perk up. But he said, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Well, you know, the Lord was talking about priorities here. It's more important to sit at his feet than to serve. Now, serving is important. You got to serve. But the first things first, sit at his feet. The good part was to invest her time in knowing Jesus and knowing that he would meet all of her needs. Now, should our days be filled with worry about everything in the book? Or should our days be filled with trusting in God, who indeed knows everything in the book? We sing so often the answer to this question in this hymn. Cast your care on Jesus today. Leave your worry and fear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. troubled soul, the Savior can feel every heartache and tear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. So the good word that this proverb talks about, to give to the heavy-hearted, is always tied to God's word, for God's word is life. You know, there's a lot of information, a lot of counsel, a lot of advice that is given to people, but it's not tied to God's word. It ought to be tied to God's word. You ought to withdraw those treasures from your heart. You know, Isaiah, whose life was full of trials, asked this in Isaiah 50:10. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, but that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Now, this question of Isaiah is being asked of God's children, godly men and women who fear God and obey him. But these men, these women, are having a difficult time, for they are walking in darkness and have not light. So the good word from Isaiah to these of this stooped heart is for them to trust and to stay upon God. You know, the godly are not immune to times of fear, to times of darkness, to times of trials and times of worry. But the message of God is still the same, and that message is to rest in his everlasting arms. Isn't that a wonderful word, everlasting? You know, we lift things in our arms. And you know, 30 pounds today that I lift feels like 100 pounds. The burden gets heavier as you get older. But God, and my arms tire. I can't hold that weight for very long. But you know, God's arms are everlasting. He can always hold you up. He'll never leave you. So our obligation is to lean upon him. It is to cast all our care upon him, for he cares for you. So God's word is filled with good words that when believed by faith will lift the stooped heart, the heart that is weighed down by the heaviness of the soul, to a position of uprightness. God's word, if believed and honored as God's word, will always replace fear with gladness. You know, God makes no promises to us, and we know this because we've experienced trouble, we've experienced trials, we've experienced difficulties, but God made no promises that we'll be without these things. But the wonderful promise that we ought to remember always is that he will always be with us and he'll never leave us. You know, I'm promised God's love. I'm promised an eternal life with God, free from sorrow and distress. And I'm promised eternal life with no more stooped hearts. You won't see any stooped hearts in heaven. Nobody will be walking like, oh me, I'm so troubled. You won't see them there. And all of this is given to us, and we're responsible to give our good words to those with heavy hearts. My, there's a lot of heavy hearts out there. You know, you bump into them, you go to Walmart, and it's full of heavy hearts. Oh, where are the smiles? Where's the joy? Where's the gladness? But you know, you can be a light as you walk through Walmart. You can have a smile on your face. You can say hello to the neighbor that's coming down the aisle. You can give a good word here, a good word there. And we can make this year a year of helps to all who are weary and heavy laden. God's word is there for you and for me to be able to know what to say and when to say it. What to say and when to say it. Always look for an opportunity to share a good word. You know, pray that God will use you to bring good words, that gladness will come. Broadcast this Psalm 46, 1 through 3. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. You know, you don't have to look around and say, well, where is God today? Well, he can't make it today. He's busy in the other universe. No, it says he's a very present help in trouble. You know, it's like a friend that's right at your elbow. You can kind of nudge him a little bit and he responds and helps. Therefore, will not we fear, though the earth be removed. Now talk about trouble. Though the earth be removed, God expects us not to fear. And though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. Now think about the trouble that's described there. The mountains being removed in the sea, the earth being removed. Think about those troubles compared to your troubles. Don't you think that if God can do those things, that he can take care of you? Those things are big. Our troubles can be handled by the Lord. So we should cast all our care upon him, but also we're to be in Christ's stead to help lighten the load. Psalm 27:1, and I'll finish here. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? You know, if the Lord is your light and your salvation, is there anybody that you should fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Be a bearer of good word this year and help to take the heavy load off. Father, thank you so much for this wonderful proverb. We're glad, Father, that we can study the Proverbs. We're so glad that you give us your word and that you give us an assignment. And Lord, help us to be bearers of good words. Help us to be alert to the needs of others and to help others and to give out the word of God, knowing that the word of God is pure, the word of God is right, the word of God is healthy to the bones and to the mind and to the heart. Now bless our pastor, Father, as he gives out the good word this morning. Help us to deposit it in our hearts, Father, that it might add to the treasure that we receive here in this church. And help us, Lord, to be able to take out and withdraw that deposit so that we might help others with it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.